So this morning, we are going to kick this thing off today, talking about God's love. How many of you are thankful, excuse me, for God's love today? Amen. So as we get into this, I hope to, you know, when you first accept Christ, it's like you're just like on fire, right? And sometimes it's hard to maintain that. Things happen in life and you just kind of get beat down. But you're just like, you just feel the love of God. And it's just like, man, God really does love me. And it's this whole new thing. And so I hope today that maybe I say something in a way that you feel that again. Like, holy cow, the weight of God's love is amazing. And so I do want to say one thing before we get into scripture. We have a lot of people that are out with sicknesses and illness. If we can keep them in our prayers so that they can get back to us as quick as possible, that would be great. So think about them today as you go about your day. So we're going to jump into scripture this morning. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 9 through 19. If you guys want to stand for the reading of the word, that would be good. If we're going to talk about God's love, then I want to use his word to define it and wrap it up. Starting at verse 9, it says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his spirit as proof that we will live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your love in our life this morning. We thank that you filled us with your love so that we can love others. In Jesus' name, amen. So we start out, we kind of get, of course, we can pretty much just open the Bible to pretty much anywhere, and we're going to have some type of information, definition, story of the fact that God loves us. He loves the people of this world. He loves his creation. And so we get a little bit of definition as we read through this stuff, because it specifically says at one point, love is not that we loved God, that he loved us so much that he sent his only son. So we see that that's how God shows us how much he loves us. And sometimes I think it's maybe easy for us to forget the weight of it, what it means, what he did. It says that he showed how much he loved us by sending his only son, to die for us so that we might have eternal life. Jesus was the atoning sacrifice that satisfied the full requirement of God against sin. There was no way we were ever going to be able to do it. And so he sent his only son to do it. It said that this is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us first. So real love is the love of God. And we do our best to try to express what that real love is, but we fall short. And sometimes because we fall short, we have a hard time accepting the full love of God. And we have a hard time understanding it. We can't comprehend it. And so as I'm reading through this morning, really in preparation for today, I got the word loophole. And God's love has no loopholes. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more as we begin to close out today. But God's love has no loopholes. And it's hard for us to really fathom that. Because what about this, but this? And so we start trying to find these little loopholes of why it wasn't good enough, right? Because that's kind of how we see ourselves. But there are no loopholes in God's love. And so I'm going through this and I'm beginning to think about what actually happened here. And so I don't know if you guys ever imagine things and go through scenarios in your head, but I begin to imagine and go through this scenario where if my son or my daughter was in a car with somebody else I knew, and I'm following them on the road, and something happens where they get in a wreck, and I can only save one person, I'm going to save my son. Or if they were hanging off the edge of a cliff. This is somebody else I know and love. Remember, God knows us. He knew you before you were formed. Somebody else I loved, and my son or my daughter, I'm going to save my son. That's the reality of it. I go through it. There's no scenario where I'm not going to save my child. There's no scenario where I'm not going to save my child. There's not a single scenario ever where I'm not going to save my child. But when you use that same scenario, and me as the father of my son, I take myself out, and God steps into that story, and he comes to the edge of the cliff, and it's Jesus and you. He looks at his son and chooses to save you. Nobody in here would do that. But he did that for you. So it wouldn't matter who it is. I could bring people up here. We could go through a scenario. And every single person sitting in here, if you were on the cliff with Jesus, he chose to sacrifice his son for you. See, that's a love that we can't understand. What we understand is, I'm going to save my kid. I'm going to save my child. We can't understand, we can't comprehend how somebody could do that. But God did. And he does because he chooses you every day. He loves you every day. His mercies are new every day. And it's hard for us to, I think sometimes we forget the love of God. Because we just say, the love of God, God loves you. I'm saying, the love of God. That he would sacrifice his only son for you. And it goes on, it continues to say that there is no fear in this perfect love. Fear doesn't exist there. So there's no fear in this perfect love. Not only that it would drive out all fear. So if you're walking in this love, if you're walking in the love of God, that if fear tries to come in, the love is going to rise up and push it out. It's going to expel all fear because fear cannot exist in this love. And so what does that mean? It means that if we are still dealing with this fear, the word tells us what we just read, then it's about punishment. Because we don't understand the love of God. And so when we have fear, it's because we're afraid that God's waiting to punish us. So what it means is the person that has fear, they don't get it yet. They don't understand it yet. They don't understand how much God loves them. They still think that God is a police officer with an arrest warrant coming to arrest them and take them away. They think that God is the judge who, when the police officer walks them in, reviews the evidence and sends them to prison. That's what fear creates. But that's not the love of God. God, as he's sitting as the judge, and they walk you in, and he takes out the packet, he takes out the folder, and he reviews the evidence, and he watches the tape, and he goes through everything, he throws out the case. He says, there is no case here. I've reviewed all the evidence. And everything that I've looked through, the only thing I see is my son Jesus, who I sent to take their place. And so everything that I'm looking at justifies this person. And I love this person, and there's no case against this person, and we're throwing it out. And what we try to do is, after God throws it out, we try to go grab our folder and keep it with us, and we carry it around, and we say, accept this, and I did this, and we use evidence against ourselves to create fear, and we're not walking in the perfect love, and it begins to infect us. And so we're infected with fear now, and we think, again, that God is going to punish us. We're afraid of being punished by God, when in reality, he said, I already got rid of the folder. I don't see the folder anymore, but you're the one that's still carrying it around with you. And God's desire is for you to burn the folder. Get rid of it where you can't get it anymore. He says, my love has covered everything in that folder. When I sent my son as the sacrifice, the perfect atonement, it took care of everything in the folder. The blood covers it all. My love for you covers it all. There's no loopholes. God's love covers it all, and there's no loopholes. He's always going to choose you. He's always going to save you. He's always going to set you apart. You're always going to be a son. You're always going to be a daughter. So, loophole. I had to wonder why I get this, the word loophole. So I look it up. I want to see the definition. So I went and got a dictionary. That's definitely not true. I did what everybody else does. I got my phone out and I Googled it. You used to have to do that. You had to use books and stuff, right? So loophole. Number one, the first thing that pops up when I looked it up on Google, is a loophole is an inadequacy in the law or rules. The very next thing right under that, it is a means of evasion or avoidance. And so everybody thinks about a tax loophole, right? So I'm going through this. Why am I thinking about taxes? No, we can relate to that because everybody, for the most part, has heard of that. So a tax loophole is, there is an inadequacy somewhere in the tax law that creates a way of avoidance. I would normally have to pay these taxes, but there's an inadequacy in the law that created a way for me to avoid paying taxes. So I want to look at those two things. First of all, an inadequacy in the law or the rules. And I'm going to bring up Luke chapter 10. We're not going to read it. I'm just going to talk through it. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so pretty much everybody's heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan. But Jesus is well into his ministry, and he's out teaching one day, and an expert of the law stands up because he wants to try to trap Jesus, and he says, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, I want an expert of the law. So like, everybody's a little nervous about taxes sometimes. What if the IRS don't like something I turned in? I better go let somebody else do my taxes rather than doing it myself, that kind of stuff. That fear starts to creep in. You didn't do anything wrong, but for some reason you start to feel fear. Anybody ever experienced that before? It's like, I did new stuff this year. I don't know what might happen. And so that what happens here, the only reason why we get that is because we know there's these experts out there that are just constantly. All right, so that's who this guy is. It says he's an expert of the law. It means he knows everything about it. He's combed it, and he can call you out on it. Expert of the law, and he wants to trap Jesus. And he says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what's the law say? Well, he's an expert, so he says, the law says that you have to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you nailed it. If you do that, you have eternal life. But the expert has a loophole, and he's going to try to trap Jesus. And he says, who is my neighbor? He's found a loophole. See, Jesus is awesome, right? Jesus is awesome is a blanket statement. But what Jesus does in the Bible all the time is really awesome, because it's the parable of the Good Samaritan on purpose. He chose a Samaritan on purpose because the expert of the law knows that not everybody is his neighbor, especially a Samaritan. Samaritans are not my neighbor. In fact, we look at Samaritans as dogs or even less than. So who's my neighbor? I don't have to love everybody. I love my neighbors as myself. So Jesus uses the Samaritan on purpose. He goes on and he says, suppose or imagine, like I did this morning, imagine you're going along and basically here's this guy that's been robbed, beat up, and left naked on the side of the road, and a priest and a Levite walk by and don't help him out at all. But then here comes a lowly Samaritan that's worse than a dog, and he actually takes care of this guy. He pays for him to be taken care of. He takes him where he needs to go. He says, if you need any more money, I'll come back and give you more money. Make sure this guy's taken care of. And Jesus says, so who is the neighbor? You found a loophole, and you're so smart about the law, but who is really the neighbor here? Basically, Jesus is saying, yeah, the law is inadequate. There is a loophole, but I'm bringing about a new way, and I'm ushering in a way where there is no loophole. See, not everybody got it yet. They didn't fully understand it yet. Jesus hadn't even been sacrificed yet. But there he stands. The law is inadequate, but I'm not. There is no loophole in the love of God. In Romans chapter 8, it's one that a lot of people are familiar with. It's basically three parts. Paul starts out saying, Apostle Paul says, the law is inadequate. The law never could fully satisfy. Second part, but Jesus satisfied every requirement. Third part, and there is nothing in all of creation that can separate you from God's love. See, sometimes it doesn't hit like it should. You could be an expert in the law, and you could fulfill its every requirement, and it still wouldn't be enough, because the law is inadequate. But Jesus, sent to take your place, satisfied all those requirements, and nothing in all of creation can separate you from God's love. It don't hit like it should sometimes. Nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God. How many of you, I'm not trying to put a mandate on you that you have to study your Bible 15 hours a week. Or how many of you read your Bibles? Lots of hands go up. See, I read my Bible too. And sometimes I just read it and it doesn't hit me like it needs to hit. Just reading it. Because I'm telling you, I can read it and I love the Word of God. But then when I go to prepare something to bring here for you all, stuff will hit me. Apparently, I'm not reading it the same way. So when I go to God, just wanting to read His Word that's over my life, I don't read it with the same kind of seriousness that I do when I'm studying to bring a word. That's on me. There's never a time He's not trying to speak to me. There's never a time He's not trying to deliver it where it'll hit. And sometimes I'm open and sometimes I'm not. That's on me. I think we all do that. And like I said this morning, I'm trying to bring a reminder that first time you truly felt the love of God and you had, your hands were shaking and you had a new excitement and you had new joy in your life. Trying to bring a reminder that that's still there. His love hasn't changed. But we let, remember, fear creeps in. But where perfect love exists, it expels all fear. And we let it try to creep in because of all the things that are going on in life. Or maybe what's happened to one couple might happen to us. See, that's just darts. That's just darts. And the perfect love of God takes care of all of that. It takes care of everything in our life. See, there is a loophole in the law. But God's love has no loopholes. Amen. All right, let's look at the second part of it, a means of evasion or avoidance. In Matthew chapter 26, we see Jesus take the disciples up on the Mount of Olives, and He goes to Gethsemane, and He's praying. But again, we just read over it sometimes. What's actually going on here? See, Jesus went to God. He went to the Father three times. He went three times, three different times, asking the Father, asking God, is there another way? Of course, He says, not my will, but your will. And we get a little detail as we read through this. That when Jesus is praying, what He knows He's about to experience, what He knows He's about to go through, the pressure and the weight of what He knows He's facing as He's praying, He's sweating blood. So He goes the first time. He's praying with this weight on Him. To the point that he's sweating blood and he's begging God, is there another way? He goes back, basically tells his disciples to wake up. Goes back into prayer. Is there another way? If we could just find one loophole, if we just find one way that I didn't have to drink of this cup, not my will, your will. And there's a third time. Is there any other way? Anybody in here with kids ever give in to your kids when they beg? See, I can give in. I guess I'm the only one. Sometimes it's just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Do whatever you want. Leave me alone for 2 minutes. I'm the only one. We've all experienced it. Sometimes they're begging for a good thing and we give in before we should. That's how Christmas Eve was created, giving out gifts on Christmas Eve. Can we please? Just one. Just one present. I'll make a deal with you. We don't have to do all of them, but just one. And we give in. It's a good thing. We see the excitement in them and the joy. And we know that we're going to see even more when they open it up. And we're going to get hugs. And love is going to abound. And it's this awesome thing. And we give in to it. That's where Jesus is at right there. Is there any other way? But God's love has no loopholes. See, God looked at us. He said, I love them so much. There's no other way to completely save the sons and daughters. There is no other way. Because once you drink of this cup, there are no loopholes. See, Jesus said, it is finished. Meaning, it's actually finished. There are no loopholes. There are no exceptions. There are no ways that the enemy can finagle around. It's fully complete. Without exception. See, this is the problem with a message like this, is I'm trying to communicate and illustrate something that we can't fully comprehend. So just like the law was inadequate, my words are inadequate. I'm trying to remind you the weight of God's love that's on you. I'm trying to remind you the level of God's love, the depths of God's love. You can't go deep enough. You can't dig deep enough to find all of God's love. It's like digging for treasure, right? You can't get deep enough to get it all. We can't fully comprehend it. We dig down a little bit. In our relationship with God, we go a little deeper with God and we find something new. Every time we find a new treasure and we find a new level of love and we find a new depth of love, and we'll never get deep enough to find it all. So how could we ever communicate it all? Has anybody in here ever just been blown away, laid out, just brought to the point of tears thinking about the love of God? Thinking about how God loves you. I'm not talking about the day you got saved. I'm not talking about because you're at church. I'm talking about you're just driving down the road on a normal day, going to work, and suddenly you just feel the love of God and you start thinking about the love of God. You got to pull over. You got to park. You just got to sit and just sit in it. This love of God, I can't communicate it all. I can't illustrate it all. I couldn't tell somebody what happened to me in the car, but the love of God, I felt the love of God in a way that I never felt it before. It brought me to tears. I had to stop what I was doing. I had to recognize the presence of God in my life. I had to recognize the love of God in my life. I couldn't just keep going on about my day. It's something that can just hit you anew. You can get a taste of something you've never tasted before. Yeah. You go to church. Every time you can go in the church and you read your Bible Every free moment you can read your Bible, you can do it day after day after day after day, and you could never experience all of God's love. You could never understand all of God's love. That's what I'm trying to remind you of this morning. And I think sometimes, just like I said, when I'm just reading the Word and I'm not open to a new revelation from the Word, but when I study the Word for somebody else, I always get something new, and I always get something new. Maybe we just need to open ourselves back up and allow God to show us that new little piece of His love that we haven't seen before. Because we're in this world right now, so many people, including us, are closed off because of all the things we see on social media, because of all the things that we see on the news, and we close ourselves off. I don't want to talk to people. All they're going to want to talk about is the vaccine. They're going to want to talk about COVID-19. They're going to talk about Joe Biden's good. They're going to talk about Joe Biden's bad. That's all everybody. I don't care. I don't want to hear it anymore. And we close ourselves off, and we're just kind of rough, a little bit irritated all the time. But God's love hasn't changed. God's love is still there and available. Whether we want to be aggravated all the time or not doesn't change the fact that God's love is right there. We can open ourselves up and step into it and get a taste of something we've never tasted before. And I think we're in a unique time right now where there's some things that are going on that nobody in here has ever experienced before. And so it's a perfect time for us to get a taste of something we've never tasted before, that God will give us something we've never had before, because we're encountering a situation we've never been in before, and He happens to have all the answers. And so we can open ourselves up and step in, and I think it's a perfect time to get something we've never had before. And it includes a level, a depth, a piece of God's love that we've never experienced before. Because when we go to the world with answers, we have to carry those answers in a present, in a box, in a giving season, wrapped in love. Because if we don't do that, then they don't really care what we have to say, because we're just like everybody else, aggravated and irritated and arguing. So we get this new level of love that can open us back up in a time where the popular thing going around maybe isn't to just love everybody. It's more we're finding out differences rather than overlooking differences. And we can wrap these new answers that God gives us in God's love and present it to people at a time where they're not feeling much love, probably. And see, it's not about us. See, we're going to get it. We're going to receive it. We ask for it. We're going to receive it. But it's about when I go to that person, they get hit with the love of God. So this morning, as we begin to wrap this up, what I've said, whether I could find the words to try to communicate it to you or not, I'm going to end with, my hope was to remind you of the love of God in your life, and there are no loopholes in the love of God. God's love has no loopholes. You should have no fear of punishment in your life. You shouldn't be spending your time dwelling on, I had this mistake in my past, I have this mistake in my past, I have this mistake in my past, made the wrong decision yesterday, totally messed up an opportunity today. That's the things that create fear. Sometimes it's the fear of missing out. I had this opportunity and I missed it, and I'm never going to get it again. I missed out. I believe God's good enough, He'll just bring it back again. So don't spend your time dwelling, sitting around in fear, because again, it's what we read today. You got an opposing force there, and the opposing force is fear. So as that begins to try to sneak in, remind yourself, God loves me so much, and His love is in me, and I'm in Him, and as fear tries to come in, it can't stay here. So I'm not standing in your shoes, but you may just say it out loud. I have the love of God in my life. Fear, you have no place here. That's not hard. Maybe you don't need to say it out loud. Maybe you just need to think it. Maybe you need to command it. I don't know. I'm not standing in your shoes, but I think we can all say it. I think every single person in here experiences things where we could say, I have the love of God in my life. Fear, you cannot stay here.
I have the love of God in my life. Fear, you cannot stay here.
Amen. Amen. So we can all stand. It really does me no good to promise you anything, but the Word of God has promises in it. But I'm just going to say, I promise you that God's love has no loopholes. And I can say that, because it's not really my promise. I'm just reading evidence. I'm just reading what's there. The promises of God. God's love has no loopholes in your life this morning. He's thrown out the case. All He has for you today, yesterday, and tomorrow is love. I'd say this morning, if there's anybody in here that hasn't accepted Christ, and the evidence still points at you, He so wants to step in and throw out the case. This morning, if that's you, if you've never accepted Christ in your life before, you can just raise your hand. Well, just glancing, I thought I seen a whole bunch of saved people in here today. So for the rest of us today, I would challenge us to step in anew. Step into a new level. Step into a new depth. Step into a new peace. Step into a new realm. Open yourself up. And be reminded, but open yourself up to feel the love of God in your life again. See, I say again on purpose, because it's made new every day. You get to step in again and again and again. That's how good He is. You can have the love of God in your life every single moment of every single day. So I just challenge you to step into that today. And then when you get up tomorrow, you step in again. And when you get up Tuesday, you step in anew again. Because we can step into a new every day. And we'll still never encounter every little piece of God's love. Not that He hasn't fully given His love, but what we open ourselves up to experience. Father, I thank You for Your love today. I thank you that you first loved us. I thank you that we have the ability to love each other because you first loved us. I thank you that we can give our love to other people in ways that we never have before. I thank you that you'll give us courage to step out and love others that maybe we wouldn't before. I thank you that you'll fill us up with such love that we'll step out, that we'll have the courage to step out and do the things that you've called us to do that we've been afraid to do. I thank you that that love's going to fill us up to the level that it expels all of that fear. And we go and do what you've called us to do, fully confident that we're fully equipped. We thank you for your love this morning. We thank you that there are no loopholes. And we give you all the glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.